What's up, gentlemen? Pretty good?
How are you? Good day?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
My name's John.
Miller Anderson.
Hey there.
Miller Binkard.
Hey, Kerrigan.
It's me.
Hi. Hi. Okay. Out here for Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all out here with the church? Or?
Yeah, the Church of Jesus Christ of Former-day Saints.
Former-day Saints.
I'm just joking. No, I'm part of the Church of Nazarene. And, you're part of the...
Yeah, it's a...
Baptist church.
Yeah, it's not a Baptist church. It's a, I don't know if you John Calvin, but it's kind of like that kind of theology.
Calvin's church?
That's my ministry.
So what exactly is like the Church of Nazarene? What is that? Like, what sets that apart from other churches?
Well, they're more Arminian, I guess you could say, in their beliefs.
Uh-huh.
You know, they believe that someone can become sanctified holy. They also believe that someone can lose their salvation. They can ultimately walk away from it.
Yeah.
Not lose it because they sin one time or whatever. But they can ultimately, they can be a Christian and then walk away from it.
Yeah.
They want to and apostatize.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, we're Baptists. I've been a Southern Baptist before. So, Baptists believe you can't lose your salvation.
Yeah.
And ultimately, God keeps you. God
like
changed you.
Once saved, always saved thing.
Right. But they would term it like this. Most of them would term perseverance of the saints.
Uh-huh.
Once they've always saved, it's kind of like, well, whatever you do, it doesn't really matter. You're still saved. Whereas, most Baptists would say, if you are saved, this is the way you act.
Because uh-huh.
God's changed you from the inside out. You know, kind of like you become born again.
Uh-huh.
So you guys out here proselytizing today?
Yeah, just talking to as many people as we can.
You guys ever go out here and preach or anything?
Not like just stand there and preach, but you know, we would walk up to people and just talk to them.
Like, so you guys do that sometimes? You go up there and preach?
Get up there and preach?
Yeah.
People would listen. We have done a couple presentations, like... campus where we put up signs and whatnot, and then whoever's interested can come and listen to what we have to say.
Right.
Let me ask you guys this. What do you think, if someone ran after me right now and stabbed me in the back, okay, I'm not going to heaven. I've lived a horrible life. Fornication, drunkenness, all there is to do, blasphemies come out of my mouth. And I go up to you, Elder Anderson, Elder Pinkard, and I say, what do I have to do to become, go to heaven? What do I have to do to be saved?
What do you have to do to be saved?
3 minutes to live.
3 minutes to live? Oh, that's pretty quick. We say to be saved, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
You have to repent of all your sins. You have to be baptized by the proper authority, receive the Holy Ghost, and then continue to stay faithful for the rest of 3 minutes, I guess.
So I can get baptized in 3 minutes.
I guess technically you could. I mean,
right.
There are the technicalities of man, but.
Do you believe in instantaneous becoming born again, instantaneous becoming a Christian?
Well,
does that have to happen over time?
I mean, it depends for each person, but, you know, it is a continual process, like, throughout our whole lives. It's not like you ever reach a point where
right.
you're, like, 100% good. I mean, you're constantly working on something.
So. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Jesus made it clear, none's good but God alone.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, you know, always being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, always growing grace. But, you know, because you know, I've talked to some of them before, and I think the biggest discrepancy between Mormonism and Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, not Catholicism, but Orthodox Christianity, is that we believe you're saved by grace through faith, the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. And basically, it breaks down into Mormons that you're saved by works.
Well, it's more like, I mean, because we're saved through Christ, what
right.
He has done, and that's, you know, not something that, you know, you can, you know, you do this and this and that, and you're automatically saved or anything like that. It's just that, you know, Christ has paid the price for all of our sins, but He set the conditions upon which we can have access to it.
Okay.
And so we have to fulfill what He has asked us to do in order to
right.
be saved.
But what are those conditions, though?
Faith, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end.
Okay. So,
because the Bible says that the only condition is faith. And faith will be followed by repentance.
Yeah.
Right? And then, so if someone has faith and repents, but they don't get baptized, can they go to heaven?
I mean, we just look at, like, John 3:5.
Right.
Except the man be born in the water and in the spirit.
Right. You're saying that's baptism.
Yeah, that's baptism. That's what we believe, so.
Okay. You know the word baptized, you know, that's just a transliteration of a word. It's not an English word.
Yeah.
It's a... Baptismo is the Greek word, which means to be immersed.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So every time you see the word baptism in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's talking about being immersed in water. It means being immersed into the body of Christ.
But, you know, I would just, you know, I've talked to some Mormon elders before, and I think what it breaks down to is that we believe in two different Jesuses, okay? The Jesus I believe in says that on the cross, it is finished. You know, it's a legal term, the debt has been paid. You know, and faith in Christ is all that is required. Faith will be followed by repentance. And if you're a Christian, yeah, you should get baptized. You should persevere to the end. But those things in and of themselves, they don't save you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that no unclean thing can go in the presence of God. And so in order to return and live with God, we do have to be, you know, fully clean through Christ. And, you know, that's what we believe are the conditions that he set that
right.
We can be cleansed.
Right, I understand, Elder Anderson, but I think what it breaks down to is that Mormons as a whole, the ones I've talked to, maybe you guys are different, and doctrine, I've studied doctrine, they believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross isn't enough, that we have to do works to be saved, whereas Orthodox Christianity believes that you do works because you are saved, not because you do it to get saved.
Yeah, I guess the best analogy is because, I mean, none of us, like, say, you know, like, you take a debt out, like, say, you know, you buy a house, $100,000, and you know, there comes a time where you have to pay that debt.
Right.
And so you work, you know, you do everything you can, and say if you're doing your absolute best, all you can get is $30,000.
Right.
You know, you show up and you pay your $30,000. Well, that's not enough. They're gonna throw you in jail. You know, either you can take your house. You know,
you're saying Christ comes for it.
Yeah, and Christ comes and he's like, well, you know what? I'm the mediator here. I'll give you that $70,000. But if you only show up with $15,000, Christ knows that you could have shown up with $30,000. Then he comes with his $70,000.
So how do you know when it's enough?
That's just, you know, kind of a personal thing. We have to strive every day to.
But you won't know until you die if you ever did enough.
Well, I mean, we know that if we're doing everything we can. I mean, we all make mistakes, so it's. I mean, it comes down to that. You're always seeking to get your faith. You're always depending. You know, mistakes that you might have. You get baptized, but then you stay faithful to.
But if you're still sinning, then how are you doing the best you can do?
Well, I mean, it's not like if I went to the murder, I'm not doing the best I can.
Right.
I just went out and killed someone. But it's, you know, like, just seems that people sometimes just kind of casually commit, like, swearing or something. I mean, even the slightest, smallest sin keeps you from being...
Right, but James said if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. And there's four definitions of sin in the Bible. You got 1 John 3:4, which is breaking the law of God. You got Romans 14:23, which is sins of conscience, which means... You know, God might have spoken to you and said, you can't watch TV, Elder Anderson. Yeah, I spoke that to me. So that's a personal thing. Okay, this doesn't say in the Bible, watching TV is a sin. But if God's spoken to you and said, you can't watch it, and you do it, and you're breaking, you're yeah. sinning against God. Then there's James 4:17, which says, you know the good you ought to do, and you don't do it, sin. So, I mean, none of us always do the good we ought to do.
Yeah.
But that's still sin.
Yeah.
So then you're not doing as much as you can do, and you're not doing enough. You're going to come to Christ and say, I don't have enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, doing our very best, we know that we will still fall short. And so, I mean, you know, God knows, or God knew that we would make mistakes, and that's why a Savior was providing, so that we could overcome those mistakes and be cleansed from
sin. And then there's the ultimate definition of sin, which I think is Romans 3:23, which is falling short of the glory of God. The glory of God was Christ in the flesh. Perfect example of hamartia, missing the mark. The Greek word for sin. So, but I think what it breaks down to is if Christ, what he does, is offer a gift of salvation. Like, if I were to offer you my $20,000 name, I'd say, here, Elder, I want you to have this. And you say, well, thanks, Jared. Good night. I appreciate that. I want to pay you for it. You take a penny out of your pocket, and you flip it to me, so I hand you the keys. Two things there. First of all, it's no longer a gift, because you just paid for it. Second of all, I'm insulted. You just tossed me a penny for a $20,000 gift. Okay? And with all due respect, guys, I think that's what Mormonism is doing. You guys are tossing your penny of righteousness to Christ and saying, what you did on the cross wasn't enough. It takes what I do, too, to save you. But it doesn't take what you do, too. Okay? There's a cause and effect relationship. I agree. Here's where we're going to agree on that. Is that there's a cause and effect. If you're saved, you're going to live this way. If you don't live that way, then guess what? Either you weren't saved in the first place, or you've apostatized. Okay? But doing those things do not save you. Christ made that very clear. And to try to pay, to work your way to heaven, try to offer your penny of self-righteousness to Christ, and to say, what you did on the cross was not enough. And the Bible even says that our righteous deeds are filthy rags in his sight. You're familiar with that verse. You almost repeated it for me. So if our good deeds are as a woman's menstrual pad in his sight, then honestly, they don't earn us entrance into heaven.
They don't earn any favor before God. It's only by Christ's death and cross, us switching place with Him, Him imputing righteousness to us. We switch places to Him, so to speak, Him our substitute. That's how we can be saved. And let me just say this one.
You know, this is kind of, you know, I don't want to mean or anything like that. I just want to talk to you about that. Book of Mormon. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
You guys believe in the King James Version, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe the King James Version of the Bible is as good as the Book of Mormon? They're equal. Which one's more important?
We believe they're both the Word of God. They both contain the fullness of Christ's gospel.
Okay, so when they contradict, which one's right?
I don't believe they contradict.
Really? You don't believe they contradict?
No.
At all?
I've read the Bible in about 13, 14 years now, and I haven't found anything that contradicts.
Okay. Do you have notes in the back of your Bible?
Yeah, I have a little, like a little notebook that I just...
No, I mean, but is there notes that the Mormon Church puts out, though? I thought there was, like, notes on the back of the...
There's an index for scripture reference.
Oh, there? No, not really verses. We have different Bibles, but I guess the one that most has what we call a topical guide, which gives you all the different like scriptures that and different words are used. Sin. You can look up all the ways sin is used, and it'll give you the references and stuff like that. And then there's also a Bible dictionary, which is just it's not necessarily doctrine, but it just helps us to understand
I have those things too.
Yeah. So.
What about like when Lehi, he was the first prophet of the Book of Mormon, correct?
Yeah.
Lehi was, and he was a prophet during Zedekiah's reign. Mm-hmm. Right. Now Jeremiah was also a prophet during that time. Okay, he had a message for the people of Israel in 2 Kings 24 and 25, and in Jeremiah 14, 17 through 19. He had a message for the people of Israel. But Lehi's message for the people of Israel, they contradict themselves. Okay, they go against each other. So one of them is a false prophet, and one of them is a true prophet.
What was...
Because if two prophets... Well, let's look into it for yourself. But if two prophets are speaking at the same time to the same group of people, and they're telling two different messages, then the law of non-contradiction tells that one of them's got to be wrong. One of them's a false prophet. And what did they do in Old Testament with false prophets?
Sure, exactly. I think
they stoned them.
Yeah.
They stoned them. Okay. So that, let's look at Joseph Smith for a second. This has some notes here because I don't remember all this stuff myself. Okay, in 1835, he said that the Lord would return within 56 years from then. 1891 came. The Lord did not return. It's found in the History of the Church, Volume 2, 189.
I think it also said that, that if he was still alive, that he would come within 56 years.
Well, I don't think that's what it said. I've looked at it myself, and it says that he would come within 56. These are just notes I took from reading it. Within 56 years.
Yeah.
So, chances tell you that if he's wrong, he just prophesied, thus saith the Lord, he's going to come back in 56 years. Joseph Smith's a false prophet.
I'm not sure exactly, where he got it from. I've seen something like that, but I'm pretty sure it's to that. I guess really the main reason why we believe in the Book of Mormon, the main reason why we believe Joseph Smith was a true prophet, because you can see that there's a lot of confusion, a lot of people that, argue and contend about different passages of Scripture and whatnot. And so really, it just comes down to prayer, to asking God what is true. And I can tell you that's what I've...
So is that how you became a Mormon?
That's how I hear from most Mormons. Yeah, that's how. Well, I mean, I was baptized when I was 8, but when I came to understand for myself, that it was true, was as I prayed and as I fasted, and I asked God, is this true?
Well, let me say this about that. I mean, if I go pray and fast before God, and I come back to you, say 40 days later, I say, Elder Anderson, God told me it's okay to kill you. Did I just receive that from God, or is he from?
Yeah, but I guess it's the way that we receive answers, because it's not, I didn't necessarily hear a voice, telling me or anything.
Well, I didn't hear a voice either. I heard it from God.
Well, I mean, the reason why I know that it came from God is because, one, it brings me greater peace, it helps me find greater joy, it increases my faith in Christ.
Sure.
Helps me feel, greater love for others.
Right.
I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I know that, the more that I study and apply it, that I feel good.
Right, but what I'm saying is, anyone can come back from praying and fasting and say anything they want and say, well, it's from God.
Yeah.
Okay? Truth is based on absolute truth. Okay? Muhammad said that he went to a cave and he had a vision from God. Now, he foamed at the mouth, he roared like a camel,
And he came back to his wife and said, no, I don't know if that was a demon who I saw or if it was an angel. And his wife told him it was an angel. And here we have the religion of Islam. Yeah. Now, well, you would agree that he didn't see a vision from God, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can agree on that because we both think Islam is wrong. But he would say, no, he saw a vision from God.
Yeah, I guess
so. How do you prove that?
I mean, it's not a matter of proof because, I mean, that's just man's way. I would say each person for themselves needs to go to God and be sincere about it and pray about it. I mean, that's what we do. We ask all people that
right.
we meet to be sincere and read and pray.
How do you know it's true, though?
But can't you be sincerely wrong?
You could, but, you know, I believe. In fact, I can say that I know that God answered my prayer. I know that He witnessed to me that what I share with people and what I believe is true.
Okay.
How do I know? Because He witnessed to my heart.
But He witnessed to my heart, too.
The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things.
Right.
I mean, how do you know that it's true?
Well, it's like in Galatians when it describes the fruits of the Spirit. It's just
love,
peace.
Love, joy, peace,
yeah.
And kind of, yeah.
And it's exactly what I felt. When I was deciding whether or not I wanted to come out and serve two full-time
right.
years as a missionary.
Right.
I decided I really, really needed to know.
Is that what you guys are doing right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are doing it here. Okay. Yeah. Most people go overseas, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's all over the world, so.
I talked to a guy at ECU who went to South America and just came back from it. But, I would just encourage you guys, you can't go by feelings, okay? Because feelings, I mean, what if my wife, she has PMS, and she goes by her feelings then?
Yeah.
And she decides to chop my head off. You know, their feelings aren't right. So, just because your feelings lead you to the fruits of the Spirit, which we should all display the fruits of the Spirit if we're Christians, that doesn't mean that those feelings were right that led you to that, okay? But let me offer you guys some empirical evidence as to why I think Mormonism is wrong. Are you guys open to this? Okay. All right. Let's look at the beginning, for example. Where do you guys think happened? Do you guys believe there was Adam and Eve in the beginning?
Yeah.
God created the world in 6 days?
Yeah.
And the seventh day rested?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So was that God the God we serve right now?
Yeah, that created the world and everything?
Like he's on planet Kolob?
No, he's not on planet Kolob.
He's not?
No, Kolob. Well, I think Kolob just starved. I mean, that's getting into way deep stuff that I don't really...
Right, but you guys believe that the God that you serve right now has a human form, correct? And that at one point in time, he was a human being just like you, on a different planet, but he got exalted to godhood over this current solar system, and created spiritual babies, and that's how we came to be right now, right?
Basically.
Okay, so if that's true, then if he was a human being on another planet, who is the god of that planet?
I don't know.
Well, then, shouldn't we be worshiping that god? Because he's the god over our god, so we should worship that guy. He's the god over the other guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
There's only one true god.
We need to find out who's the highest god. And we need to serve him.
Yeah.
But if you believe Adam and Eve in the beginning, then there was nothing before this. Because the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So the Mormonism religion is internally inconsistent in that way because you can't say what's happened in the beginning. I mean, if the God who's on Kolob, wherever it's a planet, star, wherever it may be, wherever he is, he was a human being at one point in time, we need to find out who his God was and worship that God. That's true. Okay? Now, I've read the Book of Mormon a little bit, and I know there's been some changes in it, okay? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yeah, the changes they're primarily just like spelling changes or adding punctuation, things like that. There wasn't ever...
Well, actually, there's been doctrinal changes.
What about polygamy?
Polygamy, well, that's because we believe that there's modern-day prophets that just says polygamy was okay at some points in the past,
right.
And it wasn't. We believe that the same can happen today.
Then.
No?
Well, what I would say...
Was Abraham a false prophet because he practiced polygamy?
He didn't practice polygamy. He only had one wife.
He didn't say, but there's a difference, though. Here's the difference. He didn't say, practice polygamy or be damned, like Joseph Smith said.
He actually didn't say that.
Well,
there's only a quarter of the church population that even practiced that.
Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, Joseph Smith said, you practice polygamy or be damned.
I have the Doctrine and Covenants, and I've read that.
Right, section 132.
Yeah.
But it does say it. I've read it for myself. It says it. And if he's a prophet speaks from God, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if a prophet today says you practice polygamy, and a prophet 100 years from now says you don't practice polygamy, one of them has to be wrong. One of them is not hearing from God.
Well, I mean, is it true that in the past that God ordained polygamy?
No, he didn't. God never approved of polygamy. People might have done it. The Bible records people doing it.
Jacob,
doesn't mean he approves of it.
Jacob, who later became Israel.
Sure.
I mean, he had four wives.
Yeah. But did he approve of it? Did God say, this is good, I think you should practice polygamy? It happened. He records it. It doesn't say he approves of it. There's lots. I mean,
so
David had adultery.
For
What's that?
We don't. When you read the Bible, you don't base your example. You don't obey people's actions.
I'm going to commit adultery with Bathsheba. I mean, it records that. Doesn't mean that God said that's right.
Yeah, but then a prophet told him that was
right. And Jesus says, and the Bible says, that you only have one wife. Yeah. Right from the beginning, it says, and the two shall become one. The two, not the three or four or five. The two shall become one. And shall go away from their parents.
We believe that modern prophecy, modern revelation, that God can reveal something for people in a certain circumstance. That can be right for them. Well, it can be right for them in those circumstances, in a different set of circumstances. And it's not right.
So there isn't like a standard for morality.
The standard is what God says.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If someone claims to speak from God, and God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and two people say two different things, whether it's Lehi and Jeremiah or Mormon, or Joseph Smith and a modern-day prophet you guys have for Mormon Church, then one of them's got to be wrong. Otherwise, God has changed, and God's schizophrenic, and we know God's not schizophrenic.
Yeah. But, hey, it was good to meet y'all.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, good luck with everything.
Hey, do me one more favor.
Yes,
you guys are open to it. There's a website I made called whowasjesuschrist.net. Okay? Hold on a second. Let me get you a card.
There's a higher being than Christ.
Yeah, you don't believe in the Trinity. Yeah. But, you know, we appreciate you guys talking to us and being open, but...
We love to just talk with everyone. I learned a lot here. I learned what you guys believe.
Right, yeah. You guys look into it, guys. Be open to it. We're open to it. If you can show me that Christianity is wrong, I'd be willing to become a Mormon.
But, well, I believe that Christianity is right, so...
Right, I'm talking about my version of Christianity.
Okay.
Because I think we have two different versions here. I mean, you guys would at least agree with that.
That there's differences in belief, yeah.
Well, I mean, let me just boil down to this. Is that we serve two different Jesus Christ. Because I believe Jesus Christ is God, the Son. Not just some son of God, like the devil is. You know, that they're brothers. And they're,
well, yeah, we believe he's God the Son. There's God the Father and God the Son.
Well, you don't think they're equal. You think he's a spiritual child of God. The God you worship from Kolob. I mean, we don't believe that. We believe he's always existed and always will exist. So, in that way of form, and we believe that Christ has finished the work on the cross. You guys believe you have to add to it. So, in that way, we serve two different Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it breaks down to.
Okay.
And when it breaks down to it, I'll offer you guys this, and then you guys can, I know you guys got to go and do some other stuff, but, if you guys are right, and we're wrong, what do you think will happen to us?
I don't know. I'm not the judge.
But what do you think, according to your beliefs?
If you never accept, like, we believe that...
If we don't get baptized by the Mormon church and... Okay.
What we teach is we believe we teach the fullness of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
That if a person doesn't accept the fullness of the gospel of Christ, that they won't be able to return and live with God.
Okay, so we're going to be dead in the ground?
I know that there's places prepared
right.
For people who haven't accepted...
Outer darkness?
No. Not
or just a lower celestial kingdom, or
a lower kingdom, and they've got different names, but
okay. Know, but we wouldn't be in like torment forever and ever, right?
No.
Okay, that's what I'll offer you guys. Okay, and this is not to scare you into believing what we believe, but the truth is, if you guys are right and we're wrong, we're still gonna be okay. But if you guys are wrong and we're right, and this is just the truth. Christ says you're gonna be in hell. That's the truth.
Well, I guess what do you believe? Like I would have to do to be saved then?
You have to repent of your sins, okay. Put your trust in Christ alone for salvation. And you have to worship the one true God of the universe, the triune God. And if you're worshiping any other God, it's idolatry, and that is sin. You have to repent of that. You have to trust in Christ alone for your salvation. Simple as that. And then you walk in good works because you're saved. Not to save you, but because you're saved. And you persevere to the end because you're saved. Not to save you.
Okay.
That's what we believe.
Okay.
All right, Anderson.
Yeah, y'all
nice to meet you,
day.
Man.
Nice to meet you.
You too. Have a good day, guys.
Can we maybe these cards are just for
sure.
The little card questions?
Okay, sure. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.